It's more than just another radio show. It's a beacon of truth. Fasten your seatbelt and find out why they call Deacon Harold Burke Sivers the Dynamic Deacon. Join Deacon Harold for a fast-paced hour that sheds encouraging light on today's culture. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And today we have a special show for you, another episode of the Beacon of Truth playlist. And today we're going to look at one of the most iconic songs of all time. I think everybody knows this song, Stairway to Heaven, okay, by Led Zeppelin. And so we're going to take a look at this song. Again, we're not trying to put words or ideas into the minds and mouths of the members of Led Zeppelin. You know, we're not trying to dictate to them how what this song means to them. You know, we're not trying to re-envision the song. You know, on this show, we're trying to bring people to a deeper love and intimacy of Jesus Christ. And one of the touch points for us on Beacon of Truth is music. You know, and so we're just going to take a look at the song, at the lyrics, and kind of see how we can make a connection between this song and our faith. You know, so it's not just praise and worship songs, you know, that are geared toward moving us into a deeper relationship with the Lord, or, you know, getting our hearts on fire for love of God. You know, there's also secular songs that that can or even can't move us away. Remember, we looked at Dear God by Ecstasy, which is a song that that promotes the basically atheism, that there is no God, or is a God that just doesn't care, or the deist watchmaker God that just winds up creation and lets it run and has no interest in anything that happens here. So we talked about that. But today, again, iconic song, classic song, Stairway to Heaven. When you look at all the lists of, you know, some of the greatest rock songs of all time, I've never seen Stairway to Heaven lower than probably three on on any list that I've seen as some of the most the greatest rock songs of all time. Iconic, classic. And again, we're going to take a look at that here on Beacon of Truth. Would love for you to be part of the program. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com. And, you know, as we're continuing to wind our way down through the end of October and getting into November, you know, the season we remember All Souls, one of the things that we want to do today is just talk about, besides Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin, to remember those, especially this month of November, those who are in heaven, right? Those who, if we say in the church, have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, you know. And so this is the time of year, for example, I remember my parents, right? My mom and my dad, who are both deceased. And I remember, what I remember, not so much the issues that happened in their marriage that led to their divorce, but to remember how God worked in their lives. My mother, basically, for her whole life, and then my dad, toward the end of his life, how God came in and moved them so they could get on that stairway to heaven. This is a great time, and I think I've said this before on the show, when we talked about All Saints and All Souls, to remember those who have died, to see what lessons we can learn from their life. I know for my mom, I learned, growing up in the situation that we did, with about organization and structure and saving and responsibility and all those kinds of things, which cost me a little bit of my childhood, yes, admittedly, but also has served me very, very well in the things that I'm doing in my life today. And then my dad, of course, the power of God's love and reconciliation and mercy. You know, so huge lessons for me. So this is the month where, you know, don't take things for granted. You know, if you have to make to reconcile with somebody, you know, this is the time to do it. You know, so I think about that, especially as we talk about this song today, Stairway to Heaven. And one of the reasons why I love doing this show so much is we have some great people working behind the scenes to make this show a quality product each and every day. And that includes Charles Berry doing social media, Matt Gabinski screening calls, and of course, Ace McKay, producer extraordinaire. How you doing, Ace?
I'm doing good, man. I love our playlist discussions because I feel like this is its own small group, right? You know, I mean, how many times have you gone to coffee with someone or you hear a song that moved you in a way that you share it with other people? And it's such an evangelistic opportunity. And again, not to over-spiritualize some of these songs, but if anything, it's to break down the way that music can very easily shape how we see the world or how we see our situations. Because again, our flesh, if we can validate what we've done or what we're doing, then somehow it's okay. Like when we don't feel like we hear from God, we feel like a song, well, you know, it's just like in that song, da 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 da. Okay, well, that doesn't mean it's right. It just means that it's how you feel. And again, while your feelings are valid and have to be dealt with and controlled and disciplined and all that, we also get a chance to, as a group, go, okay, but have you thought about it from this perspective? Because again, we all hear music, and of course, every songwriter, you know, we've talked about this, you know, every songwriter's written a love song, but they all write it from their own perspective based on how they were treated or mistreated or loved or unloved, you know, all of those things. And so all it takes is a broken heart or an obscured filter to cause us to see life or just to be able to say, okay, well, this is why I live my life this way based on this mantra.
Yeah, and one thing about what you said is, you know, people deal with those things differently. You know, we have a heartbreak. The artists create, right? So you have a heartbreak for a singer, they write a song. Heartbreak for an artist, you know, like a sculptor or a painter, you know, they express themselves through that medium. You know, I think about all of us. Those out there listening or watching who are not artists, you know, how do they then express those emotions? And sometimes they can do it in very positive ways, and sometimes in negative ways, alcohol, drugs, pornography, to deal with the heartache or deal with the pain. So I think artists can help us channel those sometimes negative emotions into positive ways, or at least inspire us. So maybe we can't create like they can in response to an emotional trauma in the life. But when they create, that helps us to channel our emotions in positive ways instead of going down the dark road of responding in a way that is ultimately detrimental to our emotional, spiritual, and physical life.
Well, and I've heard it said, I've got musician friends, some that are in Christian bands, some that are not. And my Christian band friends will easily say, we're not saying that every band or musician who is a believer should be doing Christian music, but you should at least leave your audience with a sense of, this is who I am, this is where I am in my life dealing with these questions or these struggles. You know, God help me, or even if it's, you know, an angry song, you know, metal song or something, it's still us realizing that leave your audience better than you found them, right? Because again, while there are certain songs I like to listen to when I'm just in that mood of just, this was just one of those days and I just made a bunch of mistakes and you know, whatever, we also can't stay in that side of the playlist, right? We have to find those songs that get us to a place of worship, or if God helps us to channel out that oomph, you know, in a good drum solo or something, you at least then can think clearly and can, you know, be meditative upon what he may be trying to say to you in music or just in life. And sometimes he has to, I know for me, he has to use music in order to get through some of my stubbornness.
Yeah. And there's many times I've listened to songs to just to get a lift. I remember particularly when things were bad at home, between my parents, and I just needed a way to get away mentally or emotionally, I'd listen to Van Halen. Like, I remember
Sure.
listening to Fair Warning and Women and Children First, and those. So when I hear those songs today, it really it brings me back to that time, but it also helps me to see that music is really a beautiful way to transcend whatever problem. Again, not to put them to the side or ignore them,
Yeah.
but to help channel those emotions in positive ways. Awesome. Well, it's the Beacon of Truth playlist today. We're looking at Stairway to Heaven. Would love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Yeah, that definitely brings me back to my college days, man, back in
Yeah.
the 80s. Like the, what's it, Cure and like that.
You know what I love too is in today's movies and TV shows when they repurpose a song from our generation to match the tone of the vibe of the scene, to evoke the emotion of what's really happening, and you're like, all right, now I can't hear this song any other way,
Yeah. It puts it within a context. And the same thing with well, I think in a sense to the detriment music videos. Not the live songs, where they're playing live or something, but when they have this kind of creative way of portraying what's happening in the video, and it's kind of this kind of artistic interpretation. And I think, I mean, it is what it is, but in a sense, it kind of takes away from your experience of that song because they're kind of dictating to you, here's what we think this song is about visually. And then they kind of plants a seed in your mind and kind of takes away from your experience of the song on a kind of a more emotional level because they're saying, here's how you should think about this song. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's
Yeah.
I think post MTV generation, so anything from 81 on, you have movies with, music montages, no matter whether it's, a gangster movie or a rom-com or something. But then immediately, even if there's not a music video for those songs, you've immediately got a visual in your head of that. So every time you hear it, and even like for songs, like we're talking Zeppelin today, even for songs that have been used in Marvel movies for like action sequences, I can't hear that song anymore without thinking about Thor or Iron Man or whatever scene it was, So again, we are, very visual people. So, you get that burned on your brain. Or what I love from having, kids is songs that they discover through movies or TV shows. Hey, have you heard? I'm like, yes, I've heard that song. Where did you hear it? And then, so a song will come on the radio or something, and the kids will start singing along. I'm like, how do you know this song? It's 30 years old. So anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, especially when I'm playing a playlist song and they start singing, like, wait a minute, what? How do you know that song? That's awesome. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and we're doing a special Beacon of Truth playlist today. And we're going to take a look at Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. Would love for you to be part of the program. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
We love it when we get a chance to pray for you. So just know that whatever your prayer concerns or intentions, you can always submit those, ewtn.com/pray, and know that there is a community of family and a community of Catholics praying for you.
All right. When we hear that music, that means it's time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is the part of the show where we break open the Sefer Tehillim, or the Book of Sung Praises, or the Jewish Psalter, the Psalms in the wisdom books, in the Old Testament, which we hear at every single Mass. And this segment of the show is its own podcast. You go to Podcast Central at ewtn.com or on the EWTN app or Spotify or iTunes or one of your favorite podcast mediums, and you can listen to these reflections every single day. Well, today we're going to look at Psalm 68, which is pretty long. What we're going to be able to look at, well, the first 9 verses or so. Psalm 68 is in Book 2 of the Psalms. So in Book 2, Psalms 42 to 49 are the sons of Korah. Psalm 50 is Asaph, and Psalms 51 to 72 are attributed to David. So Psalm 68 then would be a Psalm of David. The prescript is quite simple. It's the entire first verse of Psalm 68. It says, "For the choir master of David, a psalm, a song." Okay, so of David, so David wrote the psalm, gave it to the choir master, which is one of the chief Levites who appointed men to serve as superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. A psalm, so mizmor, a song, shir in Hebrew. So it's a psalm, a song, mizmor and shir. And so it starts in verse 2. "Let God arise, let his foes be scattered, let those who hate him flee from his presence." So again, I love David here, because David was a very successful military leader. And so some of his psalms, particularly some of the psalms in this section of Book 2, are more militaristic. He uses more of his background as a soldier in describing how God comes in and intervenes in our lives. So let his foes be scattered. Let those who hate him flee from his presence. Again, just like in battle, you know, you're pursuing your enemy and they're fleeing from you, right? So those who are against God flee. You know, let them flee from his presence. In other words, let God be the one who dictates the action of what happens in our lives. "As smoke is driven away, so drive them away, like wax that melts before the fire. So the wicked shall perish at the presence of God." So again, using analogies, again, when you're out doing battle, that means you're living off of the land, when you're setting up camp for the night, you know, so these images, as smoke is driven away. You know, when you're setting up at camp at night, you're cooking dinner over the campfire, you know, it's generating smoke. But then sometimes, you know, the smoke, if there's windy, the wind drives the smoke away like wax that melts before the fire. You know, when obviously back in those days, they used candles for light. And so when you light the candle, we see this even in church today. If you use real wax candles, you see that the candles start getting smaller and smaller because the heat is burning away the wax. "So let the wicked perish at the presence of God." So again, I love the way David, in many of his psalms, uses the analogy either of nature, you know, what he's seeing in the natural world around him, or in this case, using his circumstances, you know, fighting battles and sleeping outside, and you know, as they're preparing for the next day's battles or the next day's march to the next place where he needs to be in order to fight. So I love this language. Again, use that same language for God driving away the enemies, which is what? Sin, right? God driving away sin out of our lives, so that sin no longer becomes part of our everyday lived experience, right? Temptation is always going to be there, but the deeper we're in relationship with the Lord, the more we don't give in to temptation, because we want what Christ is giving us more than what sin is going to give us. And he continues in verse 4, "But the just shall rejoice at the presence of God." So now David turns it around. He looks at what happens to the wicked and how they're going to be scattered and driven away. But now he turns his attention to those who live in the presence of God. What shall they do? Rejoice, right? I have to look up the word, but I think it's selau in Hebrew, which means exalt, rise up, right? And I think that the translator here used rejoice, but I think that word is selau. in Hebrew. Rejoice, rise up, exalt, right? At the presence of God, right? So at the presence of God, yes, of course, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the Eucharistic adoration. But remember, God is also makes himself present in the people that we interact with. And that's why I continually say we have to be mindful, always mindful, that we are filled with God's presence, that we are become the lights in the darkness for people, that people may meet Jesus for the first time when they meet us, right? They shall exult with glad rejoicing. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that word is salau. What a beautiful word. Oh, sing to God. Make music to his name, right? So I love this. Again, David was a musician. He's often depicted with a musical instrument in his hands, you know. So David, again, he did the music to some of the Psalms himself, and sometimes he outsourced the music for those Psalms. Oh, sing to God, make music to his name. Extol the one who rides on the clouds. The Lord is his name. Exalt at his presence. So now just he talks about smoke and wax, you know, melting before the Lord and being driven away. He now uses the analogy of music as a way to exalt and rejoice and to raise our minds and hearts closer to God, which again, which is why we do these Beacon of Truth playlists to help people experience that within songs that are meaningful to us, even secular songs.
Yeah, there's a line of merch right now for Christian musicians that says, "In Jesus' name I play," and then like there's a drum or a guitar or a bass or a microphone or whatever, and it's just a reminder that we all are in a, you know, a psalm mindset, that no matter, you know, what instrument you choose, no matter how long you've been playing, like that's the reason why you do it. I, as a lifelong drummer, that was the only reason that I learned bass and keyboard, was that it was a Holy Spirit prompting of, if you want to have a better understanding of music, if you want to be a better songwriter, composer, arranger, you need to understand theory and how things work. And there was a need for bass players where I was living at the time. There were several bands that were like, yeah, we could use you on Tuesday nights. We could use you here on, you know, Sundays. So again, I've come to grow to love it over the last decade because it makes sense now. But again, it was only because of Christ that I even wanted to play anything beyond the drums. I'm still that 15-year-old kid that's like, yeah, let's make some noise, you know. But there was a reason, even to that gravitation, to see the opportunities that I've had rhythmically to play drums in worship services and, you know, and things like that is really cool.
Yeah. And, you know, the music analogies that David used here is a wonderful reminder that we should be using whatever gifts God has given us to exalt and to praise him. You know, exalt the one who rides on the clouds. I love that. I love that analogy, the Lord riding on the clouds. Mm. You know, and he continues, Father of orphans, defender of widows, such is God in his holy place. So even though God lives in the realm of heaven, he still is our Father. He's still, and again, Father of orphans, defender of widows. Beautiful analogy there. God gives the desolate a home to dwell in. He leads prisoners forth into prosperity, but rebels must dwell in a parched land. So he gives the desolate a home to dwell in. Why? Because our home is in God's arms. Our true home is in God's bosom. Our true home is in God's presence. And so we're never alone. You know, he leads prisoners forth into prosperity. Prison of what? Freedom from sin into freedom in God's life. Beautiful. All right, well, we're talking about Stairway to Heaven today on the Beacon of Truth playlist. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Yeah, talk about soundtrack, because that definitely sounds like that, right?
Like a running cool through the streets kind of scene.
Yeah. Exactly. Wow, I like that. I like that guitar tone.
As a guy who also does music for sports teams.
Uh-oh, and little shredding going on. Uh-oh.
He's getting busy, right?
Yeah, I love that. I love
but
that.
As a guy awesome. Who does music for sports teams, I love songs like this because it's like a hype between the plays kind of song, you know? So everybody's like, yeah, get it, kill him. You know, it's like, you know, just to rally the crowd.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Oh, that's great. That's chromatic. I love that.
Yeah. Staying inside the scale, but making it fresh, it's good.
Yeah, exactly. And it fits the song. You know, sometimes what you don't want to do is overplay.
Agreed.
You know, to kind of show off how good you are, your instrument, which is not appropriate to the song.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make sense. But I like that because it fit the solo there. I think it felt right and it fit the theme of the song wonderfully. And a nice little hip hop feel behind it, too.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And today we're doing a Beacon of Truth playlist. We're taking a look at Stairway to Heaven. And would love for you to join us. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Of course, we want to remind you this weekend we've got Word on Fire, Sunday afternoon, 4 Eastern, as Bishop Robert Barron illustrates some of the great beauties of God's Word and Catholicism. If you want to find out more, you can always check it out as well on demand, ewtn.com/podcast.
All right. Well, today we're looking at one of the most iconic rock songs, some would say the most iconic rock song of all time, Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, and on this special Beacon of Truth playlist. And so what Ace and I have done, if you've not heard the playlist show before, you actually go back and listen to the other ones that we've done in the Beacon of Truth archive. What we're doing is we're taking songs, not necessarily praise and worship songs, but songs that have deeper meaning have great meaning for both of us, and for so many others. Again, we're not over spiritualizing them. We're not reinterpreting them in a sense like saying, "Here's what the artist should have done," or "Here's what they meant." We're not even saying, "Here's what the members of Led Zeppelin meant when they wrote the song." We're not putting words in their mouth. What we're doing is looking at the song and looking at the lyrics and saying, "How can we?" You know, why is this song so meaningful to us as people of faith?
Yeah.
Even though it's not a faith-based song, but what can we draw from this song that helps us in a sense bring us closer to the Lord? And so this particular song was chosen by Ace. So Ace, why'd you pick this one for the list?
Well, I mean, as a kid, you know, Zeppelin was one of those, you know, legendary bands that, you know, my parents and my friends' parents, they all grew up on. But there was a stint when 90s music went grunge. I went old school. So I discovered deeper into the, you know, backtracks of Zeppelin. And rather than just listening to the radio hits, I wanted to, you know, hear and feel the full albums. And so, you know, bands like the Beatles and, you know, and even John Lennon solo stuff, like that's what I really was into at that time. And Led Zeppelin IV just hit me from first note all the way through. It's still probably one of my favorites next to Physical Graffiti as far as full compilations of their work. But I think I was also at that time, there were parts of me that were angry in my faith. And so I was looking into songs. So even just the title alone, Stairway to Heaven, right? What is it about this song? Are they in a place that is spiritual? Is it a spiritual song? Like, I wasn't necessarily thinking about it other than the fact of trying to process my own emotions, which is another reason why we do these playlist shows, is to take some of these songs that are a little bit of a thumbprint of our hearts and emotions and experiences. And then as they are the soundtrack of our lives, for lack of better words, how are we processing it now? Like, oh yeah, that song was so important to me then. And I think as I juxtapose the then me and the now me, the then me was curious. I was curious about the musical aspects of just, you know, kind of the road that you're on, because this is like a 6-7 minute song, you know, that just kind of goes a little bit all over. But also looking at it lyrically, you know, I think I was definitely looking at it from a, this is a song that's a journey to heaven. My journey to heaven doesn't look anything like this song, you know, and then understanding now everybody has their own journey of how they get to God, but it's a matter of what do you do once you begin that relationship, once you start those traditions and trying to build that legacy of faith, and then you pass that on to kids and to the, like you were saying in the Psalms, you know, we may be the only Jesus people see all day. So as we listen to music yeah. together and we process the artist or we process their lyrics, there's always some, because I mean, there was a time where a new album would come out. People would all come over to someone's house and you would listen and you would pull out the lyric sheets and you would look at it in depth. You wanted to know who produced it, where it was recorded, you know, all of these things, right? And so that art is gone because now everything's a thumbnail and, you know, my old eyes can't read that. So, you know, it just... Music speaks to us at a place of where we're at in the moment. And, you know, when people go, well, I can't relate to today's music. Well, it's not made for you. But if you do connect, it's because there's something about the song that hits you. Like, I was not a big Jelly Roll fan when he first started. But this most recent album that came out, there's a lot of stuff of him just being real in his faith and where he was when he was in prison and how God delivered him. Like, he's not a Christian artist, but he is a Christian who is an artist. And it's an example of him saying, this is where I was, you know, doing terrible things, but God delivered me. And so I think that's the part of this song for me. I was looking for some deliverance from some of that teenage angst that I had been going through when, you know, you're 19, 20, 21. You're trying to figure out who you are as a man. And this was a song that I gravitated to.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's awesome. That's awesome. And for me, you know, I've always been a Led Zeppelin fan, obviously as a guitarist, Jimmy Page, legend, you know, taking his blues kind of style and really reimagining it, you know, with, you know, Over the Hills and Far Away, Black Dog, and combine some beautiful finger styles with rock. So like, Over the Hills and Far Away, you know, like some, and in this one, you know, the beginning in of Stairway to Heaven, you know, it's really not that hard to play from that perspective. And for me, what I like in songs like this are chord changes, you know, especially chord changes you don't expect.
Sure.
You know, and this song for me was just a beautiful song. I think it encapsulates so many. When you listen to a song, you think about mood, you think about layering, mm-hmm. right? You talk about building a song, you know, and I think this song does that very well. So when it starts off with the opening guitar. An acoustic guitar piece, which is in standard tuning. I think it's in A minor.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of diminished chords and things like that, but not super difficult to play. And then, you know, you have that, and it builds through the song, and then you have the, and even Robert Plant's voice, the vocals, you know, it grows and it builds. And then by the time the guitar solo, you know, he's almost, not screaming, but, you know, belting out the song and the guitar mm-hmm. solo behind it. And then at the end, it winds back down, you know, at the very end. So, I mean, this song is so appealing to me on so many different levels. And for me, for this particular song, it wasn't so much the lyrics, but it was, for me, it was the music, yeah. you know. Again, which goes to show you how songs can hit you in different ways. Different people listen to different things and can pull different things from a particular song that's meaningful to them.
Yeah, and one of my roommates in college, and again, the reason why we're still friends to this day, we had this, you know, when you're in a dorm, right, you know, you bring little pieces of home to wrap yourself up. And he had the inside cover, which, you know, for those who have Led Zeppelin 4, you open it and it's the big mountaintop. You know, it is that stairway-esque, you know, with the man at the top and, you know, someone climbing up. And the lyrics for this song were the poster. So you had the inside cover and then it was just the lyrics kind of cascading down. So I remember, I think that was the other reason, as after already being a fan of the song, he and I instantly connected. I was like, dude, that poster's amazing. You know, just, you know how guys are. But there was the line, and not to skip too far ahead, but it definitely stuck out to me in the part where it says, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. And for me, that hook, that lyric, just especially reading it off his poster every time I walked by, and then, you know, you can't see lyrics and then not immediately have the song stuck in your head. So I was constantly, I don't want to say meditating on it, but it was just always that earworm right there. But I just love that lyric, because no matter where you are in your faith, no matter who you are in Christ right now, or who you've been and now where you are as you've been on this journey, it's never too late to change the road you're on. And that may not necessarily have had any spiritual context other than, hey, if you don't like the path you're traveling, change it. You know, and a lot of bands of the late 60s, early 70s were all experimenting with drugs and spirituality and, you know, Zen stuff. I mean, again, I'm just saying what I got out of it based on my filter of someone who grew up in a Southern Baptist home where every time the doors were open, we were at church, we were helping people in our neighborhood, we were telling people about God. And as I came into my own identity of who am I in Christ, that lyric was a big part of that. That was God speaking to me. I believe that, because I needed to be like, hey, stop chasing women, stop being the rock and roller, and go over here and be a man of God. And so no matter where you are, no matter how hurt you think you are, how alone you think you are, you can change that. God can help you change where you're at and where you're going.
Yes, exactly right. Love that. Well, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. You're listening to a special Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. And we're taking a look at Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin off of Led Zeppelin 4. Would love for you to join us today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. All right. So let's take a look at the lyrics of the song here. So there's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. All right. So when I look at those lyrics, again, looking at it from, again, not putting words in Robert Plant's mouth or anything like that, but when I look at this from a spiritual perspective, and so here's someone who's confident that the things in her life are going to get her things that that are going to make her happy and fulfilled, including, it says, she's buying a stairway to heaven. Well, we all know you can't buy your way to heaven. I mean, there's no amount of money in the world that you can purchase a way to get to heaven. In fact, Jesus talks about, especially with the rich young man, to sell everything that he has, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Right. So the way we get to heaven is by following Jesus. You know, but it's interesting. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with the word, she can get what she came for. And then so she's buying the stairway to heaven. Again, doesn't work that way. You don't get to the pearly gates and negotiate with Jesus at that point. You know, I could just get what I came for if I could just, you know, negotiate with Jesus. Why? Because when we get there, we're going to meet the Lord, and it's going to be the parable of the talents.
Yep.
What did you do with the gifts that I gave you? You know, and we have to multiply those talents. You know, but obviously Jesus is using analogy. We're actually not buying our way to heaven. We're taking the gifts that we're given, not monetary gifts, not material gifts, but the spiritual gifts, the talents that he has given us. We have to multiply them in the glory of God. And that's the key to, up the stairway of heaven, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I will say too, I mean, the one thing, you know, we hear repeatedly is, well, you know, when I get out, I was a good person. So yeah, sure. I'm going to heaven. Yeah. I mean, that sentence does not merit any value whatsoever, you know, because again, good based on whose credentials and judgment, right? We all have to, you know, Christ is the ultimate. He was the only perfect, you know, human to ever walk and is, you know, a reflection of who we are trying to be. But again, even in our Christ likeness, we're still not perfect and we're still not necessarily good enough, but at least the standard has been set to where is an accurate barometer rather than judging it on the circle around us.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, so true. And so, you know, with faith comes the obligations and responsibilities of faith, right? Which we have to be very much aware of. And so we can't allow the things in the world to distract us from that.
Yeah.
You know, we should, yeah, obviously we don't want to run away from the world, right? We want to be in the world, but not of the world, right? But we want to use the things in the world to help us to multiply the gifts that we've been given.
Yeah.
And so the lyrics continue. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, because you know sometimes words have two meanings, right? Oh man, that's so true in our culture today. Mm-hmm. A culture is trying to redefine things, you know, marriage and gender and you know, and try to make things have two meanings. Yeah, and sometimes words do have two meanings, right? I mean, just by the nature of the word itself, right? But the problem with our culture today is they're trying to not see a word, it's okay, well, there's this meaning and this meaning. No, it's trying to redefine, to change the meanings of words.
Yeah.
So instead of taking the word at face value, they're trying to redefine. So what's the word? The word for us is Jesus Christ, right? The word for us is, yes, scripture, but that's the scripture is an expression of sacred tradition. But the word ultimately is not just the Bible, it's a person, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus defines for us what that Word is and how we are to live in Him, you know, in the teachings that we have in the Gospels. You know, so we want to make sure that we're not taking the meaning of things and twisting them to fit our narrative, but we want to make sure that we're understanding what these words mean objectively in and of themselves and enter into the narrative, enter into the story,
yeah,
right? Rather than to change it to fit our personal thoughts or decisions or lifestyle choices.
Well, I'm guilty of that, you know, thinking that I heard a word from God or I did hear a word from God, but I misconstrued it to meet my agenda. You know, and we talk about this all the time, you know, Lord, don't let me get in your way. And this comes from spending way too much time getting in his way, tripping over his words to then go, look what I'm doing. Look what God's orchestrated. And it was never, it's the whole, okay, I have a passion and he gave it to me yesterday. So we think it's coming tomorrow. And then so we try to make it happen tomorrow and then it doesn't. Or he's given us an epiphany and a deliverance and a freedom from something. So now we think we're ready to counsel people and minister and start church groups. And no, wait. Yes, you had your amazing grace moment, but sustaining grace is what's going to help get you to where you're going so that by the time he has opened that door for you to be usable, he is going to show what has happened from that amazing grace moment to present day. Like, don't, like, it, God is a hurry up and wait kind of mindset. So yes, Lord, give me all the visions and all the ideas you want, but then steady my tempo so that I'm going at the pace not to get in the way or misinterpret what you said to me.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And there's kind of a dance there, right?
Mm-hmm.
with all of that, because we want to make sure that we're getting out of our own way so that the way of the Lord is front and center.
Yeah.
Yeah, gosh, I love that. And so the lyrics continue. Words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are misgiven. Right? So what do you make of that? this tree by the brook and songbirds singing. Sometimes our thoughts are misgiven.
Well, I mean, the way that I hear that, at least now, I don't know that I always saw it this way, but God speaks to us in the ways that we need to be spoken to. But again, the world speaks to us in the ways that we allow it, so it could be people that we've not set up boundaries with, or it's people that we do listen to, but we disregard maybe what they're saying because we know that's really the action we should be taking to avoid, further perils. So, to me, whether it's an actual songbird itself or just I like the idea of the imagery of a song being what sings into our lives, but we have to be careful how we let that song affect our lifestyle.
Yeah. Oh, so true. So true. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Berg Sivers. And today we're doing a Beacon of Truth playlist. And today's we're looking at Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. We're taking a look at the lyrics and seeing, from our perspective, the perspective of Ace and I, how powerful this song is. And again, not reinterpreting or reimagining it. We're just looking at it through the lens of people of faith. And what can we draw from this song as we continue our journey toward eternal life with God forever in heaven? Like what kinds of things can we draw from this song? So, and if we continue, it says, there's a feeling I get when I look west and my spirit is crying for leaving. So this reminds me of that westward movement in the United States, when colonization and then people started moving west across the country, and there's been actually I just saw on the plains there's several movies about that, right? It just almost seems to be a revival of the Western genre. Again, I don't watch television, but on the plane, when I'm scrolling through not just the movies but also the television series, there's a lot of Westerns or Western theme television shows. I haven't really watched them, but this idea of moving west, right, and going and leaving the east and going west, and so there's that westward movement, this idea of moving west, looking for freedom, looking for opportunity, but at the same time, what direction should we be looking at, as we're trying to find, the way forward in our own lives? Should we be looking west? Well, for us as Christians, we look east, right? We don't look west, we look east. We talk about in the Benedictus, in the Song of Zechariah, he says, "The dawn from on high shall break upon us, who shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death." And Book of Revelation, so we know that the sun rises in the east, and when the Son of God comes back, he's going to come from the east. So we look west, but really, as people of faith, we look to the east.
Well, and I think too, as this song, progresses it's someone that's truly looking for answers in their life, and we all are looking for answers, right? And that's the great thing about a songwriter is a songwriter is also looking, and their perspective is from where it's at. I remember the band Creed, was always, is this a Christian band? Well, Scott Stapp, he was a preacher's kid, and he was trying, he was wrestling with his own emotions and things through his songs. So Creed appeared as if it was a Christian band, but really they were just emulating musically behind the lyrics of what Scott was processing. And I feel like that's the great thing about songs is as you read it, it's not just a catchy hook or something, that, you can dance to. It really does speak to our souls and what is our soul looking for, and that's what I believe she's looking for in this song.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not going to be able to get through the whole song, but a part that hit me, if there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. It's interesting because for us as Catholics, there's a crowning, we consider the crowning of Mary in May. May is one of those Marian months. And so, I can't help but think about that when I look at that particular lyric.
Well, and even awesome. if for those who go down later, you know, the idea, if it look through the final part of the lyrics of this song through the lens of Mary, because I believe now there is a part of it that she comes in this song if you're looking at it through that lens.
Yeah, absolutely. Now remember, you can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentralewtn.com/radio. And until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.